Ketelby's Bells Across the Meadow, the new London Orchestra led by Ronald Corp, and you're with the new Classical FM. My name is Mark Wigmore. See if you recognize this voice.
This is a sad, a melancholy occasion. For it becomes my duty to warn you that this girl, who might be one of God's own lambs, is a little castaway. Not a member of the true flock, but evidently an interloper and an alien. You must be on your guard against her. You must shun her example. If necessary, avoid her company. Exclude her from your sports and shut her out from your converse. Teachers, you must watch her. Keep your eyes on her movements. Weigh well her words. Scrutinize her actions. Punish her body to save her soul. If indeed such salvation is possible.
The new Classical FM is proudly presenting what you just heard on Mondays and Thursdays, thanks to our brand new podcast, Marilyn Lightstone Reads. Now, you already know her as the beautiful voice of the radio station and as the host of her nightly show, Nocturne, your all-time classic hit parade on Vision TV as well, and her decades in film and television. Now, Marilyn Lightstone draws on her extensive and acclaimed acting career to bring great characters to dramatic life, starting with Charlotte Bronte's masterpiece, Jane Eyre. You can download the first episode of Jane Eyre today.
And it's my pleasure to welcome back Marilyn Lightstone to the Oasis.
Hello, hello, Mark. So great, good to be here with you.
Great to be with you. It was only about 8 months ago or so that you and I got together to record an in-depth conversation for the podcast that I host, Art at the End of the World. And now here you are. You got your own. Just like that.
Yes. Helps to work for this station, doesn't it, if you want to promote something.
It's great. And Jane Eyre, Charlotte Bronte, revolutionized the way I think we read a first person, more than just a coming of age story. It's an emotional and spiritual coming of age story. It challenges the status quo. It questions. It offers social criticism. Lots to dig into with this book. Why was it important for you to begin?
Well, I was looking for something that would be palatable to a modern audience to begin with.
Right.
And as much as we would like to think otherwise, a lot of books that we consider the classics are written in a literary style that really is of 200 years ago or
sure.
300 years ago, and is difficult for a modern audience. In contrast, Jane Eyre turns out to be a surprisingly modern book. And tremendously cohesive in that the narrator of the book is also the heroine of the book, which always doesn't necessarily follow. Sometimes you'll have a narrator who will talk about other characters, but
sure.
in this case, it is her. So it is very, very much in depth psychologically, and so much happens to her, and she is such a pure spirit, and her rendering of her life is, I think, so faithful to the way that it might have been had she been a real character. And I'm sure there were many characters like Jane Eyre during that period.
I love what you're talking about, too, because it has been often where I've picked up a book a couple hundred years old, and there is a, you know, it takes you a day to find that voice of that person. So I like that here we're finding a slightly more contemporary feel. How does it feel to be in Jane's mind through this reading?
Oh, painful.
Right.
At some points. I mean, she experiences everything. She is such a pure character. I mean, she never oh, darn, I'm finding it hard to say this. I'm in the character. It's hard to sort of look at it from the outside
right.
now, but there's so many aspects to her life, and yet she is such a solitary creature from most of the time in the book, and
right.
until she meets Mr. Rochester, and you know, it starts on her life voyage and the real meaning of her life. But a strong character,
and she so difficult at the beginning, and then but finds her way as
finds her way, and
yeah.
never really lets end. I mean, there's so many occasions in which she could sort of let down her guard and change a little in order to accommodate other people and maybe make her life a little easier, but she never does that. Even with the people she loves most, she makes sure that she never compromises her, you know, her integrity or her values, and that she is I find it hard to speak about her because The book is a very long book.
As it
you
is.
Know, Mark, because yeah. I don't know how many pages it would be actually in a printed book, because I read from my iPad.
Sure.
And I increased the size of the font so that it's easier, you know, to read. And
it must have seemed miles long.
It did seem miles long, but I enjoyed every minute of it. I really enjoyed getting into the character. And at the end of my 2 hours, because that's my customary recording time, 2 hours of being in someone's mind in this kind of detail, I'd be exhausted, actually,
sure.
afterwards.
That makes
really
sense.
I just wanted to go somewhere and have something to eat and then go to sleep.
Right.
Because I don't think I've ever done that before in my life during, you know, whatever experiences I may have had, you know, in our business. I don't think that—well, this is definitely a first.
Let's talk about it a little bit, because you have performed in the audio and radio world for so many years, and now podcast. We think of Nocturne here on the station, the voice of the New Classical FM, the voice of Bravo, voice on various animated series. But as you point out, this is so different. What do you make sure you put into a performance when you know people will be taking your voice in as in this such very significant way? You're with people for hours. So what do you have to do to kind of prepare for that?
Well, you know, I always operate on a very instinctive
right.
level. I figure by this time in my life, you know, after all my years of study and preparation and experience, if I don't know what to do, then I'm in a lot of trouble.
That's
so
great.
I really just, if it feels right, it has to feel right. And I know when it's something doesn't feel right.
And so many major characters and smaller characters, it's a long book, as you point out. So you have to sort of find these voices for these people.
Yes. Yeah. And in some cases, no doubt, some will be more, you know, convincing than others. The male voices, obviously, are the more difficult for a female voice.
Right.
But it's such a pleasure, you know, to find a book that is written in a female voice, because in my search now for material for the podcast, I'm finding that most of the classics are written by, either written by men about women, or not too well, or, not a full understanding.
Well, of course, this is a huge issue with art as we go.
That's right.
Just generally speaking, yeah. We could be talking about classical music. We could be talking about books, film, what have you.
You have to really go by your instinct after a certain point.
Yeah.
It's not that this is what I'm going to say and write it all out. I mean, that's for, you know, kind of beginners. But you and I, Mark, you know, have done this for long enough that we know how we feel about something. And the important thing is to get it across in as fresh a manner as possible.
What other books are you looking at as we go forward?
Well, we're now halfway through Anne of Green Gables.
Okay, perfect.
Which is a striking, you know, contrast to Jane Eyre.
Right.
But interestingly enough, so many of the books written in the 19th century, like Anne, like Jane, are about orphans.
Right.
And especially, well, orphan boys as well, as in Oliver Twist. But the subject matter that women could write about during the era of the classical novel was very curtailed to begin with. Their lives were curtailed. You know, their lives were largely domestic. You didn't have sort of women entrepreneurs. Well, maybe there were some, but we don't know too much about them, and they were few and far between. Most women were sequestered in their homes with their families. If they had jobs, it was something that they did before they married and then not afterwards.
So that puts some parameters.
It puts some parameters.
On what can
but be. During my early years, you know, when I first finished theater school, when I came to Toronto to work, I did a lot of radio drama with the CBC, and that really gave me a very good kind of background. But my interest in reading aloud goes way, way before that. Even as a kid, I always loved to read aloud. I will read aloud to anyone who's in the vicinity.
It is such a special way to take in a book, too. And I mean, you're performing it, so there's that. But just listening to a story well told with the human voice, as opposed to reading it with your own mind, it can be a really wonderful experience.
It can, but there are also caveats, because at one point in my life, I was about to have some surgery, and I was told that I wouldn't be able to read for a couple of days, and I should get myself some audiobooks, which I did, at the cost of about $30, because they're more expensive than the regular books that you buy online
mm-hmm.
for your iPad or your telephone. And the first one was good. The voice was good. It was the old man who sort of stepped out of his window or something. And that was good fun, and the voice was great. And then the second book that I bought, I can't remember what it was, or they never tell you the name of the readers, or the names weren't meaningful to me at any rate. And the reader was so bad.
Right.
I couldn't read it.
We do.
I couldn't listen to
it. I have had that too, where I've bought an audiobook and I just can't, again, do
exactly.
the first chapter.
And you know, $30 later, I mean, I think that's just not fair.
That's true.
So we have a responsibility that it be listenable.
Yeah.
But going back to the, you know, loving the reading, even when I was a kid in grade school, the teacher at some point would always ask for someone to read, whether it was a poem or a paragraph or something in a book. And most of the class would be like, no, miss, no,
please
me,
don't
me,
pick
me,
me. Yeah.
But my hand would always be in the
Marilyn's
yes,
hand
miss,
up.
Yes, miss, please, can I do it? I always love doing it. And for me, the chance to act all those characters, you know, it is a joy, you know, for an actress like me. I mean, I love playing different characters. And
I was going to get you to read an actual page of the phone book here, because that's how much I enjoy your voice. So I won't make you do that, but I will point out that I do have a few books on my list, too, that I know I'll never read, maybe War and Peace and Moby Dick and so on. So I'll bother you about that in the months
well, you
and
know,
years
I'm going to be looking at those, but I think, again, those are probably more male voice oriented. And there's no law that says that a woman can't, you know, read a male narrator's voice or vice versa. But one occasion when I was doing my original, you know, research, I came across a gentleman who actually read very well. He had a very nice voice and he framed his words very carefully and beautifully. But it was a female narrator. I don't remember what, but it was a Bronte, I think, but I don't remember which one. But it was first person female, a young female voice. And here was this mature male voice reading. And I just couldn't buy it.
Right.
I couldn't buy it.
That's fair.
Where I'm going to ask, you know, the listener to be a little gentle with me is I made a decision not to do accents. And a lot of the classics are English written. But a lot of them aren't the English that we know of from English films or even from English television. It's period English and very regional as well, with very heavy regional dialects, mostly North Country stuff, a lot of that in Jane Eyre.
I mean, I'd love to hear your Cockney accent, but...
Well, Cockney is one of the easier ones. It's right. The other stuff. The Northern English one is more difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
But I decided, no, that rather, because I was going to be doing so many voices already, I think there's about 25 voices at least in Jane Eyre, of which perhaps 10 or 12 of them are featured voices. And I thought it would be just too difficult and too complicated. And I frankly, I don't know if my skill set, you know, kind of encompasses that kind of aspect of reading. So I decided I would concentrate on character voices rather than on period voices and on, you know, on regional dialects.
Marilyn, I have a big drive on the weekend. And I will be listening.
Oh, great. I'm so glad.
To the first several hours. I'm looking forward to it. Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre. It will be exquisite as we listen to the new podcast, Marilyn Lightstone Reads. The first episode is available now at classicalfm.ca and anywhere you enjoy podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you take in a podcast. Marilyn, thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark.
We're looking forward to more books coming down the road, but we'll start with Jane Eyre, and you're with the Oasis here on the new Classical FM. I think we'll have a look at what's happening on the roads. 3:44.